Imagine that you're in a building, and the building has got all these structural walls and whatever holding the whole thing up, and we're in the building and we're part of this building, and it's very much part of us and who we are and what we do. Da-de-da-de-da. We don't have to really think about the thing being held up. And there's always something move out of the building, but we're taking things with us, and these things need holding up. In other words, what was built while we're in the building actually isn't the building, it's what he's done in us. But as we go, we still need the supporting walls and the pillars, but we haven't got the building anymore. What I'm talking about, of course, is the supporting walls and pillars in our spiritual life together. Mm-hmm. We need the structure. We need the pattern from God how to walk. And we've got it. Amen. In that blueprint. And I've talked about pillars. I want to talk about the pillars tonight, but I'll make some observations as well as to where we are. We had a long conversation about this morning in both the heads of department and the enablers, which followed immediately. So that's what the pillars are that I talk about in the blueprint. That's what I'm going to talk about in a minute. They're the things that God has given us to hold us up and keep us together as a people, even if we haven't got a building as such. And as we move around doing what we're doing, these pillars will keep our spiritual lives intact. Yes. Without them, we're just a group of people doing something weird, moving around a lot, you know. But we're not that. We have a plan and we have a purpose and we have certain pillars. And as I go through this now, whether you're here or whether you're listening to this, please apply this to yourself, because probably your spiritual state right now is directly correlated to the amount of these pillars that you have allowed God to build into your life since we moved FEH. Now, fully accept there are some who are still recovering from that move and who aren't yet sort of caught up and moving and got these things established in their lives. And, you know, there's loads of grace and time for everyone to catch up and to take advantage of the thing God's given us to keep us in the right place. Does that make sense? That picture makes sense of the pillars. You know what I'm saying? So pillars to support our spiritual life together. You know, this isn't just individuals, it's how we walk together. Very clear pattern. God gave the enablers. We went to the quiet waters earlier this year. Very clear pattern. And the pattern comes from, so, you know, it's not just a pattern for pattern's sake. God really showed us in Acts 2 the basic foundational scripture for this next season of transition. I don't want to call it transition anymore, because we've almost transitioned in a sense. We really have. There's been so much, and I'll come to it, so many positive things to be thankful to God for. But of course we know this passage because we looked at it while we were in FEH and God started to draw our attention. And this was the passage that everything came from when the enablers met. And of course it's the fellowship of the believers in Acts 2, verse 42. I'll read it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So pretty much what the pillars and the things I'm going to just reiterate again tonight come from that. There's also the going out aspect, which we get from elsewhere, but most things come from that, which contributes towards what these pillars are. And think about it. When you read this account in Acts of the early church, and so many people want to get back to the early church, back to the first, you know, how do we get back to that church? Well, one thing I've noticed when I read through it recently, there's no church building. They ain't got a church building. They haven't got a caretaker and a mortgage. They haven't got a building they all file into every Saturday morning or whatever. They're a group of people. They meet in homes, they go out, they meet in the temple courts, they go out, they heal people when they walk past them, you know. And they're this free group of people, disciples, who are following the Lord. and they're on fire, they've been baptized in the Spirit, and they're just allowing him to lead them. But of course they're doing certain things that keep their spiritual life together and keep the church growing and being strong and their life together strong. And this is what they're doing. They're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Just say to each other, devoted. What does devoted mean? It speaks of something more than just having a casual Sunday morning sermon. You know, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. It's coming together, enjoying each other's company, just, you know, enjoying being with each other, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they devoted themselves to all these things. Then everyone was filled with awe, and all signs and wonders were done. They were all together, and they started selling what they had to make sure they'd all got what they needed. And they broke bread together regularly in their homes, and then they met with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And then we read on either side of that account what they did. They went out and healed people, saw God move and baptize in the Spirit and all that. So what we've... what we call the blueprint, which I'll come to in a minute, came out of that initially, and we'll see how that works in a second. So the pillars God gave us, he said, these are the things I want you to build into your fellowship. Now, once you leave FEH, these are the things that are going to keep you spiritually strong and together and growing. Okay, so each scripture relates to each pillar. Sorry, relates to these scriptures or the command to go, and we are called. You know, it's not a question of sort of what do we like the do we like this pattern? God, I'll give you this pattern back. Can we have another pattern, please? This is the pattern we believe God has given us. So we haven't got a choice about what we do with it. You know, if you want to keep walking with the Lord and see fruit and keep growing and stay safe in him, we're called to walk in this pattern. And you know, general principle is walk in what God says to you with obedience and faith, and that's the way to fullness of life. And to joy and to peace. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We have to trust what he says. And God's been speaking to us today and last night about his word. This morning and last night. About how if we walk in humility, we humble ourselves before God's word. So humbling ourselves before God's word includes before his prophetic word to us, his command to us. Pastor Colin says, isn't it, that Jesus never asks anybody to do anything in the New Testament. He always commands them. That's a bit sort of offensive when you first hear, I'm not sure that's true, you know, I better go check it. But when you do check it, you find out he does do that. Jesus goes around commanding, just as if he expects people to do it, you know. Do not fear. Don't put loads on them, you hypocrites. You know, he's very commanding. So this is God's command to us. He commands through his word and speaks of that same word that created the x 100 billion trillion universes or whatever. No, it's only one universe, galaxies we were looking at last night. So we are called to walk in this particular vision and pattern if we're part of this ministry. If we're not, what are you doing here? and there's only one way to walk, is with faith and obedience. That's how we walk as disciples of Jesus. In faith, obediently, trusting and obeying. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line for how we're all called to walk. So the question always is, as we've been talking about recently, what is God saying? What is his word to us? What is his command to us that we may obey it? I think it's Watchman Nee who talks about... you know, if he's talking in the context of spiritual authority, which is something we've grappled with in the past a bit. He says, if you're not under anyone particular authority, in order to outwork the principle of spiritual authority and humbling yourself under it in the body, just do anything. Go and find somebody you can humble yourself under and submit to them. You know, create that relationship where you're having to outwork this humility. And of course, we know humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God is what we're all called to do. So all that's very familiar, I know, but let's think of it in relation to what he's told us to do. The pattern we have, the blueprint, if you like, is all we've got, guys. We ain't got anything else. So, you know, we can choose to what degree of wholeheartedness we want to walk in it, but that's all we do have. There's just some notes before I go on to the blueprint. Any and every administrative function in our organisation, the Way of the Spirit and Cornerstone Church, any and every administrative function is always there to enable and support us to move forward in faith in the vision that he's spoken. Okay? Now, in the world, sometimes, and even in the church world, you sometimes get administrators and administrative parts of the organisation. So, you know, and you'd think we were all existing to serve the administrative department. It's Paul Mannering who did a great series, which Jo listened to when she was working with us, on apostolic administration. It's really worth getting hold of, especially if you're involved in resources or any other sort of administration. But it's worth remembering, you see, the administrative gift, the gift of administration, is there to serve the vision. It's not there in and of itself. It's not a separate thing. It's there to enable the vision. To enable and support everyone to move forwards in faith. It's never the other way around. We're never serving the administrator. The administrator is there to enable the vision. Never to slow it down, never to put things in the way of moving forwards, never to put obstacles or anything. It's there to move the whole thing forward. So we're called to be a people of faith, and to walk the way he leads. And we should understand that only by walking the right way with the right heart will any of us be able to play our full part in what God is doing and building. Just as we've only got one pattern for the church, we've only individually got one pattern for ourselves. There's only one thing we can do, and that's to walk in obedience to what the pattern is, what God is speaking. And what we're in agreement about the way we're walking. So, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. This is the way to happiness, guys. Just find out what God's telling you to do and do it. Simple as that. Get in step with what the Lord is doing. That'll make sense in a minute when I talk about the blueprint. So, and we're each here to give to the common effort, as it were. We're not here to take it, take from it, or fight against it. We're not here to resist it and stop it moving forward. We're here to give of ourselves that it can move forward as fast as possible. I'll come back to that bit at the end. So, blueprint. Does anyone want to look at it while I'm quickly going through it? I'm not going to spend hours and hours, but I just want to quickly go through it. You have got this, but you may want to. Who else? If I just started at one end, that would have been a lot quicker. Okay. Of one each. So, and it's worth thinking about this now, because we've made quite a bit of progress in getting to this point. Now, what I really want to do is encourage you before we look at it. I really want to encourage, we saw this morning in our meeting. I want to encourage you with what God is doing in our midst. This morning we saw four areas where already we're seeing a new strength and a new life in what God is doing. The first area, if I'm in the wrong order, probably doing this morning, but the first area, teaching centre. We've had one so far, we've got another one coming out this Saturday. It was alive and kicking. It was it was impacting, powerful, and we had the guys come along, Matt and Daniel, whatever. And ever since then, we've been living in the good of that and speaking more about Abraham stuff at 8 o'clock. And there's a fresh life in it. Okay, so that's one of the things that God said to do, one of the pillars, which we'll come to. So there's that. Sheringham, there is a fresh, absolutely a fresh something happening up there with the guys up in Sheringham, particularly the young guys, and Linda's come back to the church, and the whole thing is alive and full of life. Now, one of the things we had here is going up to Sheringham, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. What were the other two things we mentioned this morning, guys? Do you remember, Steve? The going out, so the going out on mission, there's a new thing happening on mission, there's a fresh anointing on the word, there's fresh impact, and what happened in Aintree was fantastic. And Dorothy's going to be starting a teaching centre up there. On the back of it, the leadership wants us to go back. They were blown away by what God did in the church, the people we'd never met before as well, and the Wirral guys came from Janet's place, and they were and we brought back a really good offering. I mean, this whole thing was blessed and just on fire. We've also noticed in our 8 o'clocks, there's a fresh, absolute fresh wind of the Spirit in them. The words coming in a fresh way. There's like no obstacles. It's like moving and getting refreshed by the Word and the Spirit on 8 o'clocks. And the other thing was Steve noted just how willing everyone is to move around on Tuesday nights to different locations, and just how unique that is. What an amazing thing that is, that God's created this group of people who move around, but who are alive in the Spirit and totally up for it and willing to be adaptable and flexible and meet together and make the effort to do it. It's hard to underestimate what God has done in us over the years as we've remained flexible and faithful to what he's been telling us to do. So let's go back to the pillars. Blueprint. So these were the pillars that we felt God were putting in place out of the Acts passage. So in the light of the Acts passage, in the light of the, we're needing a new structure because we haven't got the FEH anymore. What is it? What are the things we're going to be doing as a community of faith? What are the things we're going to be doing that are going to keep us together, keep us alive in the Spirit, keep us moving forward in the things of God in order to see the stuff we want to see all around the world and wherever we go out? So Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 to 9, worship at St. George's Hall and the various locations. Mondays and Fridays, life groups. Well, those who've been coming to these have been built up and refreshed and strengthened. Can I hear any amen? Is that going on? Yeah? Is that true? Or am I overstating it? It's true, isn't it? There's a fresh life in them. So there's no FEH, but this is what we got instead. And this maps onto the meeting together every day, in the Acts passage. The life groups will continue as before, with anyone not yet in the group. So the life groups are carrying on. Now, I'm not sure how quickly ours has got off the ground again, but we are meeting on Mondays and Friday mornings. I mean, a good meeting last night, and Monday and Friday mornings, we're having some good times. We're looking at some scripture together. We're getting a lot of interaction. We're asking questions. We're having to think. And it's rich. It's alive. You know, it's not just doing something for the sake of it. It's feeding us. That's the point. It's feeding us. Cornerstone meetings, well, yeah, last week was a powerful time at Roxley Hall, or whatever it was, Roxley something, and we had a strong word that was powerful, and various people stood and received a fresh anointing of faith, and Tuesdays have been, you know, full of life. When we go up to Sheringham is, as I've said already, is in a new lease of life up there. And we've had some great meetings up there. Now, we said we'd go en masse, you see, because it doesn't mean everyone's got to go every week, right? It just means that we all make the effort to go sometimes, and we take what God's doing here and we take it up there, because it's going out. It's not another meeting we have to go to. It's going out and taking what God's pouring into us here. What could be more exciting than that? What do you want to do with your life? You know, I mean, this is what we're here for. This is who we are. And fantastic that the soup run runs as well in on some Wednesdays. And that's going to increase. Brenda, you're going to have a growing ministry in that area, I believe, one day. But you see, my point is, what I'm trying to suggest is this. These are the pillars that God's given us. As we join in with these with a whole heart, that's when we get into peak condition with God. That's how we stay healthy. That's how the early church stayed healthy, and this is how we stay healthy, by trusting and obeying and doing the things, building the pillars into our lives in such a way that we allow the life of God to flow in and through us. This is who we are as a community. Am I saying everyone's got to be at everything? No, I'm not. And any mindset that starts to think down that way has got completely off on the wrong track. I would hate to think people are thinking, oh, another meeting, go another meeting. I mean, something's wrong. If that's what you're thinking, something is wrong. Maybe we're tired after summer, in which case, get refreshed and start again. But maybe there's something why this person or that person will think that. So get ready, get healed and whole and refreshed and start. But once we're all going in this direction, and once we're all joining in, I hope that the meetings are so enriching. But it's almost a question of we've got to, keep people away rather than, you know what I mean? There's a desire to be there, a desire to take this life out. Because if we're going to, if we're even beginning to think, oh, another meeting, we failed. That's how I see it anyway. I failed before anyone else has. So these pillars are here for those who are part of this community to build into their life. Now, when we're students, or when there were students, and quite a few of you here were students at one time, when you were students, we had to build it in for you. We had to make sure you had to wear this big group here, and you got up and did a quiet time here, and you had a mentor here, and then you went to prayer school here, and your day was structured with an 8 o'clock here, because we were training you. Training for reigning. Now we're reigning. Now it's the symphony, not the tune-up. And, we are of such a maturity now in God, and there's more to come, but we are of such a level of maturity that we shouldn't need now that the same attention we had as a student from people, watching over it. We should be self-motivated in all these areas, spiritual areas. I don't hate to use the word should, but I mean, this is what I believe God has done this in us so that we are now at a place where each of us can be properly self-motivated. We don't need someone to keep saying, well, why aren't you here, why aren't you there? What's going on here, what's going on there? We're self-motivated in our spiritual life, first and foremost, because if we're called to this pattern, then in this pattern, this is how we stay spiritually strong. And looking around, the strongest people amongst us at the moment are the ones who've been at the 8 o'clocks, going up to Sheringham, at the teaching day. It's not coincidence. If they're the pillars God's given us, then this is how we stay healthy. I mean, blame God, not me, if you don't like the pillars. As soon as if our mindset is church as it used to be in the traditional days, or mindset even is FEH, we've missed it. God is doing a new thing amongst us as a community of faith, as a group of people who are called to walk in step with the Spirit and in step with each other. And for goodness sake, He has been training us for long enough. We know how to do it. And we got the blueprint, and it's just now doing it. Keeping in step with each other and learning to stay strong. Now, of course, there'll be times when we can't get some meetings or whatever, and maybe what you're doing, you can't get small anyway. But that's okay. Just God isn't legalistic. He understands our heart. It's our hearts He's after. So The en masse up to Sheringham is like, well, who's around this Wednesday? Let's see who go up. You want a day off? Okay, you come, have a rest. The rest of us will go up. Blurum, you come next week. You know, blurum, and up there. So we get a car load or two car loads going up on a Wednesday night. And that's really, that keeps us going out. It keeps us looking outwards. It keeps us thinking someone else apart from ourselves. It keeps releasing something to the guys in Sheringham. And it keeps us working together and fellowshipping together as we go. Monthly teaching days, well, touch on those really. They're really effective, and that there is something full of life in it. And you know, anyone who's ever going to teach the way of the Spirit stuff, whether in this country or abroad, this is something. This is an opportunity for you to. I'm taking the opportunity to engage once again with these topics and to go through these oh so familiar scriptures again, asking God to show me something fresh in it, and then standing and teaching it. And He is doing that. He is anointing the thing He's told us to do. Surprisingly enough, so. So again, it's not something, you know, oh, Saturday morning you have to be out. No. It's not that at all. And this is the main way in which we can devote, the most obvious way we can devote ourselves to the inverted commas apostles' teaching. This is it. This is the teaching. This is devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Now you guys, I don't want you just to sit and listen. That's not. I want you to get hold of it so you can go and teach the blessed stuff. That's devoting yourself to it. So you can teach it. Otherwise, we're going to teach when you go to Burundi and Rwanda or wherever. You know, I mean, you can give words which will bring life, but if you're going to teach Burundi, we're at the end of a cycle. Nigel went and taught them specific things, and we're at the end of a cycle teaching specific subjects. And I would hope any of us could go and do that. But you've got to engage with the topic before the event, and know your stuff. So this is another opportunity for us all to get around and know the stuff, but also to live it out, because the Abraham is a lot of faith stuff, and God's challenged us on faith. And the other thing, of course, if we're not generally at the 8 o'clock, we miss the God thing. That was a strong word the other day. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Now, anyone who wasn't there missed it. God will make it up, I'm sure. And again, I'm not saying everyone should be at everything, but you get my drift. If we miss out meetings, if we don't build these pillars in, we miss out on what God is doing. Come on, we are a community of people who are trying to take the world for Christ. Aren't we? Well, this is how He's told us to do it. All we've got to do is trust and obey, and he'll do it. As He's doing. The trios are going to be important, and please don't pour scorn on them, or if yours isn't working, then make it work. Fast and pray till it is working. Change your attitude towards it, or something. Have a word with the leader, see if you can change. If you see why it's not working, change it. But there's no place for negativity. There's no place for moaning and groaning. If it really isn't working, come and talk to me. My heart will be to get it working. If we need to change them around, we'll change them around. But they are the engine room of how we encourage each other on peer level to do what God's telling us to do and has been for a long time, which is to reach out, build relationships with people who are not saved, who are in our immediate vicinity. You know? And there's nothing easier if we do it God's way. We don't have to be like Catherine or Carol or Peter. We don't have to do it, you know, go and play, you don't have to learn golf. But you can do it your way. And you know the Holy Spirit's on your case, and He's got a way for you to do it. He's got something for you to do. He's got someone, at least one person, for you to at least start praying about, praying for, and then bumping in. And who knows what He'll do? Who knows what God will do? But the moment you open your mouth and moan about it is the moment where you disqualify yourself from God doing a miracle through you. The moment you're negative about it, you're just quashing it. And listen, there is no point in coming to a meeting and praising God and speaking faith stuff and going out and being negative behind someone's back. There is no point in going out, you know, worshipping God here and going home and being negative about the church or the leadership or the vision or the trios or the pillars or the blueprint. There is no place for it. It undermines your faith. It undermines your faith. Everything you're speaking out of faith in a meeting, you pull it down when you go out and start speaking negatively. Listen, I hear what's said. You think, well, Richard doesn't know what I say. Well, you get to hear. And you pick it up in the spirit sometimes if you don't hear it. There is no place for negativity in this church, in this vision, in this blueprint. There is no place for negativity. If there's something wrong, come and talk to whoever you need to talk to. That's your training as students at FEH. If your brother sins against you, go and talk to him. Get it out. Discuss it. If necessary, get it all out and then sort it, then make up and finish, and then it's out. Done. Do not hang on to stuff, and do not allow negativity to take root in your heart and then breed, because it spreads. Just like the leaven in the lump of the kingdom, the positive thing spreads, so does the negative thing. It spreads. And we're too small a group to allow it to tolerate it in any way. Go and sort out your own moans and groans with God. If you want to come and talk to me about it, I'm very open to hear you and listen to what you're saying and counsel you and pray with you and stand with you and support you and see you come into the best place possible for God. Because that's what my heart is for every single one of us, every single one of you, for me, for us to be our maximum that we can in God. 24/7, not just at meetings or public places, but in the quiet of our own home as well. When no one else is listening. And there is no place for a smiley face and a downward turned heart. You know what I mean? Smile in front of the pastor and moan about him behind your back. There is no place. I'm sure I've made many mistakes. Come and tell me about them. We can sort them out. But we need to decide that if we walk in step with each other, we walk in a particular way. A godly way. A kingdom way. Yeah? And we need to understand there is nothing negative in the kingdom. If you don't believe me, go and buy Pastor Colin's book, The Positive Kingdom. And maybe if you're feeling a bit negative, go and buy it. Work through it the next 6 months. The Positive Kingdom. I don't mean silly land where we say everything's wonderful when it isn't. I mean reality. But we deal with reality in a godly way, in a kingdom way, which is always with faith, always with respect. Always, there is always a way to do it. God wants to shine light on the dark. He wants to get things out in the open. Yes, he sure does. We had months looking at a heart with a line across it last year, and the curtain, and get it, breaking it down and getting the light in. But there is no room for negativity, moaning, groaning, complaining, gossiping. It's all out. Okay? So the trios are an important, really important part of what Cornerstone are doing. We've got an amazing vision to change the way we think about doing church. It's an astonishing vision. I know, okay, it's a small number of us being outworked at the moment, but you know, as we're faithful in the small things, God will put us in charge of bigger things. And as we're faithful to seeing, to believing for and seeing every single one of us, seeking God for the way we can actually build a relationship with someone who's not saved, and just be, allow him to use us whatever way he wants, and allow others in our trio to encourage us and pray with us and stand with us, then we're going to see it. We've already come a long way. I mean, many pastors would be very jealous of a church where most of the people were fully engaged in what we're doing and got out there with faith and got out and willing to go abroad on mission and go up to there for mission and out there on mission and out there on the streets and helping out here and doing this. And you know, we got a tremendously high level of engagement, you know, in the body, spiritually and practically. And we got great vision, you know. We got, but as well as the big thing in Burundi and Rwanda and wherever, we got the reaching out locally as well. We got the big and the small. Very few churches are engaged at both levels, you know. We're fully engaged at both the local and the international. and the regional. God's got to open the doors for us in all, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. That's what we're doing. That's what he's outworking in us. Just like in Acts here. You know? And so we're blessed. I mean, very often in Christendom, if you're a teacher, say, an acclaimed teacher of some sort, then that's what you get on with. And you think, oh, I don't have to do anything else because I'm a teacher. You know, but that's not the case. That's not allowed here. We've got to get out there and build relationships with people as well and evangelize and be a witness, because everyone's called to be a witness, not just the non-teachers. Everyone's called to be a witness. So me and you, we're all in the same boat. Wherever we're seeing God poured out on the international stage, we're also called to be here giving tracts to the gardener or the guy we're playing golf with or whatever it is. And that works tremendous character into us, you know. It's him working his character into us. Keeps us grounded. It's R.T. Kendall, isn't it? It goes to the tube every Friday morning and hands out tracts. He used to anyway when he was in charge of Westminster Chapel. But he would go, you know, big man, well known, one of the best booksellers in England. But he'd go out every Friday morning and hand out tracts, you know, to engage with people and get conversations going with them. Keeps you grounded. I don't care what your ministry is or what your gifting is, it keeps you grounded to get out there. And that's why we do it. Keeps us grounded, keeps us being a witness. Don't have to be good at it, just have to allow God to show you what he wants you to do. So, you know, the Sunday prayer meeting, we need to see an increase in the prayer in the church. But anyway, at the moment it's an hour on Sunday evenings. The family days, you know, it's only as the kids go there, but that's another opportunity at lunchtime sometimes to go along and support it. And if everyone does it sometimes, not everyone has to do it every week, you know. If it's a handful of people going on a Sunday to join in at lunchtime, take a quiche or a turkey or something along with you, or share it. It's great to have fellowship with the Sheringham guys and to see the kids there and to encourage Mengi and Lisa who twice a month pour out their lives into this ministry, that particular ministry. So, you know, that's one of our pillars. In addition to these pillars, we ebb and flow as God leads us. There'll be times of fasting and praying and of extra teaching, maybe Thursday evenings, early morning prayer, etc. These will allow those in the workplace to fully join in with us, which is, again, one of the things we want to be doing, looking out for Catherine and Ashley and Kirsty and people in the world, and, you know, hearing what's going on, standing with them in prayer for that promotion or that pay rise or that opening or whatever, that conversation. So we're actually next week, and it's not a, you know, this is for everybody, we've all got to be there. The enablers are going to be meeting next week, 6:45, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We need to see breakthrough in housing. We need to see breakthrough in the office. And there's something else. What was the third thing?
Unity.
I'm praying for unity. So we want to see a breakthrough, and we're going to be meeting at 6:45 in Lisa's house, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and anyone else is welcome to join us. You don't have to, you know, if you're busy and tired, that's fine. But anyone who wants to join us, 6:45 for 1 hour, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So that's the sort of the ebb and the flow that we're talking about. There will be increased mission around the UK and abroad. And that means not just me going, teams going out. That's what I envision, that's what I see. We'll maintain an outward focus with local evangelism opportunities, and we'll encourage each other in our trios to be filling our space in the world, making relationships with those who are unsaved or prodigals. In order to see an effective, non-building-centered people who live for the benefit of its non-members and with a changed mindset about what church means. We will increase our acknowledgement and support of anyone out there in the workplace during the day to regularly engage, encourage them, become a consistent feature. Well, we've done a bit and we need to improve still. But guys, when we've been at the 8 o'clock in the morning, are you remembering to text the guys in the workplace? Tell them what the script of the word is. Tell them, encourage them what the word of the Lord is. Are you getting some encouragements? Yeah? Okay. Great, so we're off the starting blocks. I'm just going to keep that going and find a way of ensuring that these guys out in the workplace realise they're as important, if not more important, than the guys who are not in the workplace, because they're out in the world. They're the missionaries we've sent out, if you like, and they need our prayer support and our encouragement. Pete had the parable of the sower this morning from Luke. About hearing the word, getting excited about it, but then doing something with it, not letting it get snatched away. Listen, we've got to watch out for each other. The devil will want to divide us. He'll want to, you know, his favourite tactic is to sideline somebody. Just sideline them a bit, push them, just get a crater bit of distance, sideline them, and then when they're out here on their own, snaffle them. That's what he does. Paul says we're to know the devil's tactics. We're to know his schemes. That's one thing he does. He will take someone off for an apparently legitimate thing, or they'll get disgruntled about this, that, and they'll slowly be pulling away and losing their fire and losing their joy and all the rest of it, and then he'll scumph them. So we have to, that's a good word, that scumph. We need to be watching out for each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be watching out for each other. Shame no one thought to get Debbie tonight in the car. I know you contacted her, but you haven't got a car, Catherine. Someone with a car could have perhaps gone to pick her up. I don't know, but we need to be on that level of watching out for each other. You know, if people aren't around, not prying into their lives or jumping to conclusions, but just watchful for each other. Because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the unity. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. He hates it. He'll do anything to try and get in and winkle out the unity, you know, try and separate it, crack it in some way, shape or form. So the main message is, isn't it wonderful what God is doing now, at the moment, as we've stepped out of FEH, as we've picked up what he said, the strength in what is actually happening now is really encouraging. And we need to be encouraged by that. Secondly, we need to make sure that we are building these pillars into our lives. Because these are the ways in which we will stay part of the building. These are the ways in which we will receive the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayer, meeting daily. This is who we are, this is who we're called to be. I'll suggest you never have in your mind a normal church, if that's the right word, and compare what we're doing against it. Because we're not doing normal church. We don't want to be normal church. We're called to do something different. We wear the Spirit as well as the church. We're God's shock troops for revival. And if he's going to send us abroad to project revival in nations, then something's got to happen here. And it's quite simple. It's just joining in with what he said. It's taking seriously the pillars that he said. So daily meetings, the 8 o'clock, if we can get there, not if we can't, obviously. Life group, play a part in the life group. Teaching centre, get there, hungry, ready to, engaging with the word, get hold of it. Let him teach us between teaching centres as well. The trios, give yourself to your trio. Give yourself to it. So right. What can I give to the trio? How can I support the leader? Or if I'm the leader, how can I lead these people? Because do you know what? It's funny this, but you know what leaders do? Do you know how you can tell a leader? How can you tell a leader? One word. How can you tell a leader? He leads. And people follow. So that's what a leader does. If you've got no one following you, you're not leading. So if you're leading a trio, lead it. Need fresh vision? Get before God and get fresh vision. That's what we are. That's who we are, isn't it? If you don't know what God's saying, seek him till you do. Fast and pray till you hear what he's saying. That's the point. We're all grown ups now, aren't we? So, you know, don't wait for me to tell you what you're saying for your trio. You've got to hear for your own trio. That's why it's a Peter thing, not a upfront lead thing. Remember the starfish and spider? I've always seen it, starfish and spider. We're a starfish, we're not a spider. The sooner I can get out of the way and just leave it to get on, the better. And all the life will flow through the prongs or the legs or whatever they are. Because you can't get rid of that, you can't find the head. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Chop a leg off, just grows another one. Spider, chop the head off, and the whole thing dies. Yeah. When I go on my 18-month sabbatical next year, nothing will change. It really wouldn't matter an iota whether I'm here or not. I've had to do some establishing and training and that. But if I wasn't here, it won't make any difference. You just carry on as you are, because the trio doesn't have any dependency on me whatsoever. It certainly doesn't need me to say, "Are you meeting?" Because you're self-motivated, because you're mature men and women of God, because you've got hold of the vision, you understand that what you're called to, that's the pattern. You understand this is the pattern, so I better fit into it. Better get my heart right, fit in. This is it, boom. This is how I get fed. This is where the life is. Pete came alive at the weekend going out on mission, didn't you? Do the thing God says, you know, walk the way He puts in front of us. And that's how you stay spiritually alive. You're at great risk when you start pulling back. I know when I pull back, I just, you know, it just get less, the heat goes, you get lukewarm, start losing your desire for this, that, or the other. So you've got to constantly stir yourself up. If you're the leader of a trio and you're not hot for that trio, well, it's very simple. Make yourself hot. Stir up the gift within you until you're hot. Because if God's asked you to lead that trio, then He wants you hot. So, what we need to do, of course, is watch out for each other. And particularly be looking out now for those who, for whatever reason, haven't had a chance to catch up into the new thing. And while we've been swanning along enjoying it, for some very good reasons, maybe people haven't been. And we're not here to judge or to criticise. We're here to love and to enable and to include and to draw in. So I don't know where you are personally. I mean, I think I know where some of you are. There's some of you, you know, just hope, trust, you're finding your way in it. But I'd like those who are strong at the moment, or you sense that you're strong, and you're, as far as you know that you know you're flowing with the new thing. I want us to pray with those who are less strong, for whatever reason, and it doesn't matter really what the reason is, whether they're here or not. There are some we need to be praying for who aren't here, because the Lord called us all to be together. And if one's up and one's down at the moment, well, who knows, in 6 months' time it may not be the other way around. You know? And we're called to walk in step with each other and in step with the Spirit. So I hope you can see it's encouraging that the blueprint God's given us is working. It is the thing He's given us, and we can walk in step with it. But we need to do it together, in unity. And that's the joy of having a mature group, you see, who have all been through, you know, serious training, really. And all we've got to do, may I suggest, is put into effect that training, to live in it, like the symphony, not the tune-up now, you know. Make a decision to live in it. I mean, you know, it's a big down thing. I think we're there. I think we're doing fantastic. I'm so encouraged at the moment. I really am. The weekend was wonderful, and the 8 o'clocks I've so enjoyed. But I'm just aware that some people aren't yet caught up in the same way, possibly through no fault of their own. And so, really, it's a plea for unity.